Washington wasn't the only city where the art of negotiating got a workout this week. Geneva hosted the latest talks about Iran's nuclear program. No breakthrough, but representatives from Iran and negotiators from the U.S. and other world powers all said the talks were positive. The one negative note? Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif's bad back. He was reportedly in a lot of pain during the talks. I asked Ryan Crocker, who served as a top U.S. diplomat for over 30 years, for his take on that.
A few days before the meeting, he was hospitalized for stress, and I assume that this is, again, a manifestation of that. I do ask myself whether this might be a political malady as he works to contain and deflect hardliners in Tehran.
I mean, if it is a political malady, it was notable that a number of diplomats at the Geneva talks gave Zarif advice for his back, offered sympathy. I mean, his back became kind of a talking point. So
yeah.
You're a former diplomat. Let me get some insider information from you. How crucial are these little personal moments in bringing polarized parties together? Can a bad back become the thing that breaks a deadlock?
Not in and of itself, but, humanizing one's negotiating partners is an important factor in a successful negotiation.
What's the best example you've encountered of that?
Well, my own experience after 9/11 with Iranian negotiators, we, shared our personal histories. I talked about my first foreign service assignment, which was in Iran, respect and admiration I had for Iranian history and culture. I could quote a little bit from the great Iranian poet Hafiz. Mm. One of my Iranian counterparts was a USC graduate and recounted what a great experience his college years in the States were, and have left him with a lasting admiration and affection for America and Americans. These things all, develop an atmosphere in which it may be a bit easier to deal with the tough issues, but it does not substitute for hard negotiating. It just puts it in a friendlier context.
I mean, not to obsess about Javad Zarif's back, but in that case, could his physical ailment backfire as a political ailment, kind of showing weakness?
I don't think so. And, I have no reason to think that he is having a back problem. But whatever it is, I mean, I don't think that showing up in a wheelchair suggests that there is a political weakness on the Iranian side.
I mean, despite everyone being tight-lipped at the end of those Geneva talks, they were positive. What do you really hope, though, that the sides open up publicly about after the next round of negotiations?
Well, first, I hope that the next round of negotiations isn't the scheduled P5+1 meeting next month. I hope it's a continuation of the bilateral dialogue we started Tuesday afternoon. I think it's in that bilateral context that the tough work will get done, if it can be done. Second, to modify Woodrow Wilson's famous dictum, I am a great believer in open covenants secretly arrived at.
Explain that.
That in a complex and difficult negotiation with all parties facing critics of the process, we have them in the U.S., they have them in Iran, it's very difficult to make the sausage in public. That critics will seize on a particular statement, an offer here, a counteroffer there, that are part of a process and that can be highly tactical in nature, and use it to generate opposition to the entire negotiating process. I certainly would not have wanted the substance of my talks with the Iranians on Afghanistan while they were underway to have been a subject of public scrutiny, and neither did they. So I would hope that all parties to these talks keep to generalities until we are at the point where we have concrete results.
A good dictum for peace talks. Lawmakers in Washington should have been listening during the shutdown as well to that.
Well, there's something there.
Ryan Crocker, former U.S. ambassador, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Marco.